Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another members-only Beast Inside episode of The Daily Beast, The New Abnormal. We thank you so much for being here. Hi there, I'm New Abnormal producer Jesse Cannon, and today we're going to have a really fun episode where Molly and I sit down to talk with The Daily Beast's Will Sommer about what in the hell is happening with all the craziness at CPAC.
Let's talk about CPAC, but first you and I need to talk about the very real, very disturbing phenomenon that we both experienced, CPAC FOMO. And for those who don't know what FOMO means, it's the fear of missing out. We both admitted to each other right before we recorded this that we both had tinges of wanting to be there. True?
Yes. I mean, you know, I don't know if you want to call it Stockholm syndrome over a couple years or what, but, you know, I think that, you know, yeah, you and I have both been there in the past. And really, for people who haven't been there in the past, like the CPAC experience, about 5% of it is the speeches you can see online. The whole, right. The rest of it is the weird after parties, the exhibit booth, just all the weird, like the people just acting weird in the hallways. Like, that's really what I come to CPAC for. Unfortunately, obviously, there's a global pandemic, and I did not want to catch the coronavirus.
So when we say people acting weird in the hallways, is that things like Roger Stone dancing to a rapper singing that Trump yes. won the election?
Did you see that video? What was that video?
Yeah, I mean, so Roger Stone, I guess, I don't know if he had planned this or just encountered this guy, but he runs into a sort of one of many sort of MAGA rappers outside of CPAC. Whoa, and Roger Stone.
Hold on to that detail. Many MAGA rappers, not just one?
I would think there would only be one. I didn't know there were more than one.
I can't stress enough how many MAGA rappers there are. I mean,
wait, really? That's a real thing?
I can think of, I mean, I think there's at least a dozen. Wow. You know.
Well, wow. All I'm saying is this is, you and I might be working on something together, and it's going to definitely be documenting that.
I think that would be a great episode. Yeah. I mean, they really just have a thriving industry. And so one of these MAGA rappers is, you know, kind of doing his rap. And then Roger Stone is sort of in his full, like, Babadook style, kind of like the hype man, like Flavor Flav to this guy.
Yeah, I really didn't have that feeling that, like, when everybody's like, oh, he's the Penguin, oh, he's the Joker, or whatever, I'm like, Flavor Flav, who knew? That's really what he is.
It's baffling. I mean, the thing about really the stuff outside of CPAC is where you start to really feel it. I don't know if you saw, there was a Trump float. Dave Weigel from the Washington Post is there, as are like three other journalists we know. It's a small, I mean, it must be, it's a much smaller crew this year because it's in Florida. And, but some of the pictures he's posted have been incredible, including the Trump Unity trailer getting towed by the police.
It's, I mean, the whole thing is incredible. I mean, it definitely is sort of a toned down CPAC this year. I think you can tell that the audience is a lot smaller as well. And just like the vibe, there's fewer big names. I mean, Marco Rubio just dropped out.
Was Marco canceled or did he cancel?
He's, as far as we know, he canceled. I would find it unlikely. I don't think CPAC would cancel on him.
Right.
Of course, he did this right after Paul Gosar, who was supposed to follow him, you know, to be around him on the schedule, another congressman went to this sort of white nationalist event next to CPAC. And I don't
the night before. Right.
And I don't know if that played into it, but, you know, it could have.
Can we talk about, so this happened last CPAC too. Can you explain what this white nationalist event is?
Sure. So this is a group called, they call themselves America First. They're kind of based around this young guy, this guy in his 20s named Nick Fuentes, who's sort of this white nationalist leader, really a nasty character. I mean, he marched in Charlottesville. So these guys are, you know, he was at the riot, though he claims he didn't enter the Capitol. They're basically white nationalists, white supremacists who try to avoid saying that explicitly in an attempt to essentially infiltrate the GOP. You know, unfortunately, they've managed to recruit some people to their cause. Columnist Michelle Malkin is sort of, they call her like their mother, essentially.
Wasn't she always sort of a white nationalist, though?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, look, I think like 10 to 15 years ago, she wrote a book defending internment camps. Yeah. So yeah, obviously, you know, it's not like she's had awesome politics before.
Can you just explain a little bit about Michelle Malkin?
Sure. So Michelle Malkin was this kind of long-running conservative columnist. Certainly, I mean, going back to the George W. Bush era, she was a big deal. She was on Fox News a lot. And she kind of was like right at the, like kind of dancing on the fringe before you can't go on Fox News anymore or you lose your book deals. And then with the rise of this America First group, her whole thing was really like being hardline against immigration. Yeah. And with this, she kind of stepped over the line and like, you know, she got booted out of a conservative speakers group and this kind of stuff. And now she's really kind of all in on being kind of this hero to these white nationalists who are trying to take over the Republican Party.
It seems like there's been a lot of people who've dropped off of speaking here or been canceled, yet you're supposed to be railing against canceling is the whole theme of the thing. Can you talk to us about what's happening there?
Sure. So this year's theme of CPAC is America uncanceled, right? So cancellation is over. We're bringing back America. But of course, every year with CPAC, there's kind of like every year you can expect something to happen. And one of the things that happens is that it turns out that CPAC has invited just a total like extremist nut that they're going to have to kick off the platform.
This happens every year.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And so this year they invited a guy named Young Pharaoh, who's sort of like a hard right, you know, like a black activist, like very conservative and really, I mean, very relevant for CPAC. I mean, he really does not like Jewish people. And so he had all these
kind of, a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So he had all these tweets about, you know, how much he doesn't like Jews and how he being Jewish is like a fake religion. This was pretty embarrassing to CPAC when it came out.
And as a Jew, one of the weird things CPAC does is they are like obsessed with Judaism, right? Like there's Jewish prayers, there's Judaism in the schedule. And because of this like Israel Holy Land stuff. And I know you sat through that interview with the former Israeli ambassador, mm-hmm. right, today, that weird interview where he was interviewed about the Abraham Accords, which this amazing idea that the Trump administration has brought peace to the Middle East is like one of my favorite weird Trumpy tropes.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of that because, you know, I mean, when Trump was in office and it would be like, okay, the UAE, you know, is signing some accord and Morocco and stuff. And it's like, I mean, those countries were not at war with Israel. You know? Right. People are like, you know, there was blood in the sand and we solved it. I mean, it's just so bizarre that, and they've given them this name, the Abraham Accords, that sounds, you know, so weighty.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but the idea is basically Jared is Jewish.
right.
These people are canceling, they're dropping out, but the other strange thing you were saying is that they're actually kicking people out for not wearing masks.
Yeah, so this is this weird tension in CPAC because on one hand, so apparently to get this hotel, they had to promise that people would wear masks, except when they're speaking.
A hard left. Go on, sorry.
So they said this, but at the same time, you're inviting perhaps, you know, the people who least are willing to wear masks to celebrate often how much they hate masks. And so, you know, you have speakers like Ted Cruz saying how dumb it is to wear masks. But the crowd, and they're saying, well, I don't want to wear masks. And Will Turton from Bloomberg, one of the reporters there, he witnessed people just totally ignoring the security guards. He claims he saw a woman cough at a security guard who told her to wear a mask. And so then occasionally in CPAC, you have to have the organizers stand up and say, you know, we all love property rights, right? And everyone goes, yeah. And they're right. Like, well, what about the right to have people wear a mask on your property? And everyone goes, boo! So this is very controversial.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was an amazing little speech where they came out like hostages, the two sort of, I felt so bad for them, actually, these sort of two people who work behind the scenes in CPAC, and they said, you know, this is a private establishment. They tried so hard, and then people just booed.
They're really in a tough spot, and we've seen these conservative influencers who almost, it seems, are deliberately getting kicked out of CPAC by not wearing a mask, because for them, I mean, CPAC is sort of just the place to be seen and be seen. They don't really care if they get kicked out. I mean, they don't want to hurt their brand by wearing a mask, and so we've seen a lot of these guys say, they kind of get the video of the ceremonial ouster from CPAC.
I think that this is becoming the funny thing, is that like they're railing against being canceled, but it's actually seeming like the culture of conservatives now is like the merit badge is like, you got canceled. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene's a celebrity now because she got canceled.
I saw this picture of people waiting to take pictures with Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I just thought was kind of amazing because she's probably the least powerful woman in Congress.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she's literally like the least powerful member of Congress because she's not on any committees now. But yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, they even stretch towards claiming they've been canceled when they haven't been canceled in any way. Like this pro Marjorie Taylor Greene website claimed that she had been disinvited from CPAC. And sort of when you dig into it, it was that they didn't give her a speaking slot. Well, I mean, you know, that's a pretty low bar, but they were saying, oh, you know, CPAC is turned on Marjorie Taylor Greene.
The thing that I was really struck by, and we've only seen 2 days of this, was two things. One was that they're so light on policy. Like, you never hear anyone, I mean, except for, like, they want, you know, the left wants to take away your guns, the left wants to kill your babies, you know, but they don't ever say, like, you know, minimum wage, or there's no sort of nuts and bolts stuff, which I think is interesting. And then the other thing is that it really is reliant on this idea that the left is really dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the only policy discussion you hear at CPAC is when some lobbyist is clearly trying to, like, plant something. I mean, we know that.
Or the Heritage.
Yeah, I mean, it's very like, oh, suddenly there's this panel on an issue I've never heard of. Oh, and what a coincidence. This person is a big donor to CPAC.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, no, really, it is the, you know, theoretically, CPAC is supposed to be, you know, kind of, we bring together the factions of the conservative movement and they kind of hash it out. But this year, I think everyone is, number one, so shell-shocked from 2020, and they're unable to, they can't acknowledge that they lost, because that would mean acknowledging that Trump lost. And then everyone's just so terrified of Trump. And so he's speaking on the final night. So it seems like there's a lot of like, oh, I don't want to say something that maybe Trump takes bad. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk that he's going to denounce Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader in the House, for not bowing to him enough.
Yeah, there is definitely a undercurrent of fear, which is really strange and interesting. And then there are the weird, CPAC has made all these deals with Korea and Japan.
Yes, yes. I mean, and so this is kind of what we're getting into with, like, the sense of, like, someone is getting paid here, or, like, what's the payoff? Right, so CPAC has, like, alliances with, there's a Korean CPAC, and I believe now a Japanese CPAC, and these are kind of like these sister groups. Matt Schlapp, the head of CPAC, has sort of been involved in creating, and there's just a lot of, like, kind of what's the weird influence play going on. It's kind of like with the Epoch Times, which is the newspaper run by this Chinese dissident group that's very pro-Trump. And in that case, it's kind of like, okay, they're trying to win Americans over to kind of their specific cause in China. In this case, I mean, there's all these like kind of weird characters from Japan in particular. There's a guy who calls himself a samurai futurist and says that Donald Trump is like the ultimate samurai.
Oh,
and can you explain that to me? Because I've watched that ad like 15 times and it still doesn't make any sense to me. He's a cult leader, right?
I think this may be two separate guys from Japan.
Oh, okay, that's a different guy.
Just before we spoke, I would just want to make sure we were right on there, because I think the samurai futurist guy is just like, like, you know, it's great when you look this guy, when you look up a guy on Google and the first result is he's a war crimes denier. So these are the kind of guys who are kind of like kind of the stars of CPAC this year, really, because so many of the main Republicans Republicans have decided to skip it.
And also, the NRA is out of business.
Right, right. The NRA, they're trying to, you know, kind of recoup whatever money they can. And so there's just a, like, kind of a weird, certainly in the past CPACs I had been to were during the Trump administration. And in those times, you can really feel that kind of like the influence peddling is going on. A lot of money's pouring right into CPAC. And this time was kind of like, you know, just the heart wasn't in it. Even like kind of the Groypers, the Nick Fuentes crew, a couple of them tried to sneak in and they loved to kind of be chased by the security guards. And they were like, it felt very perfunctory.
Man, I will say this. If I had been to the career fair and I could had seen War Crimes Denier was on the menu, I would not have chosen podcast producer.
I don't think War Crimes Denier is quite enough. I don't think that's a career. I think that's just an element.
Gotcha.
It did strike me as very low energy, too. Like, these people were just couldn't get excited, you know, that people weren't excited. But Fox Nation still, and the Beast had a really good piece about this by Lloyd Grove and co. They actually paid $250,000. They're like one of the big underwriters of the event.
Yeah, Fox Nation is such a weird little creature to me. I mean, so this is Fox's sort of online streaming service. It's Fox's answer to Disney Plus or Netflix. But in this case, but instead of, you know, WandaVision or something like that, right, you get Steve Doocy Goes to America's National Parks.
Or castles.
Yeah, the signature, I mean, okay, Paula Deen is on Fox Nation. I mean, it's such an odd little place. A big thing, as you mentioned, Molly, is they go to, like, they do it like a category. So it'll be like, okay, we're going to all of America's greatest stadiums or the greatest national parks or like big factories and stuff. And I mean, the obvious thing that's going on here is those are super cheap to make. All you have to do is move like 12 people around the country. And so that's the kind of material you get on Fox Nation, and incredibly lurid true crime.
True crime is good for ratings.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they have Nancy Grace, for example.
Ooh. You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you have two choices. Or
I prefer. Don't you?
That's the sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond.
Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow.
Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands like Rothy's, Allbirds, Brooklinen, and so much more.
You're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. Shopify's app store has the migration apps you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every major e-commerce platform to Shopify.
If you're anything like me, you're one of those don't put me in a box people. Everyone who knows me knows I'm a don't put me in a box person. And thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, control of your brand and business is always in your hands, from your storefront look to your back office operations.
I hate when checking out from an online store and then having to pull out my credit card and type in all those numbers. A Shopify store remembers my shipping address and payment information. So if I'm on the couch and my wallet is on the kitchen counter, I don't even have to get up.
Stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business.
Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/abnormal, all lowercase.
That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/abnormal, all lowercase.
Shopify.com/abnormal.
So I want to take us back to CPAC. So one of the things I thought we saw a lot of was just this total fantasy world that these people live in. And particularly one of the big themes that Molly and I were joking about that was so funny is that all they do is rail against big tech, ignoring the fact that the conservative movement is solely propped up by big tech letting them, Facebook letting them be propped up with everything they do to keep conservatives being read all day.
What do you think about that?
Right. I mean, right. There is this kind of this constant sort of self-victimization that conservatives do where they say, oh my gosh, Facebook, Google, Twitter, they're all after us. But you see these, you know, these daily, weekly lists of the top pages on Facebook, and it's like Dan Bongino is 5 out of 10.
And the rest is Ben Shapiro.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it is this very weird idea. I mean, certainly the platforms appear to like them because they keep people engaged and they kind of get people riled up. But, you know, I mean, we had some representation at CPAC this year from kind of the off-brand social media networks. I don't think...
what is that thing called?
Yeah, so
Freedom Tube?
Right, so there was Freedom Tube, which is weirdly like a bunch... Like, it's sort of like a knockoff of each one. So it's like Freedom Tube, Freedom Book, like Freedom Twitter. Twitter, essentially.
it's sick of being... I mean, you really see that, like, writers and artists are not conservatives, right? If the best you can come up with is Freedom Tube.
I mean, it really is right there. And then there was another one called Clout Hub, which is run by a guy whose name is Jeff Brain.
Oh, yes.
And people were just making fun of him. And Jeff Brain gets up there and he does his speech. But Jeff, like, the key thing is, if you're promoting your company, you need to learn how to pronounce its name. Mm. And so Jeff Brain was saying, so it's called Clout Hub. But I think he maybe doesn't know clout because it's kind of like a slang term for like social media prominence. And he was saying, that's why you got to go on Clout Hub. And so everyone, I'm watching the CPAC chat and everyone's going like, it's called Clouded? Like, what am I supposed to check out?
It is amazing. And the MyPillow, I was watching it on the Right Stuff. Is that what it's called?
Right Side Broadcasting.
Right Side Broadcasting, which is like, it seems to be largely sponsored by the MyPillow
News Network.
Is that what it is?
I mean, basically, it was not always that case, but he certainly has, you know, just like he has with, like, frankly, you know, Tucker Carlson, the ads on there. I mean, it is the MyPillow show. And so, you know, you're watching CPAC and a quarter of your screen is just Mike Lindell just embracing this pillow.
So silly. I mean, can we talk a little bit about the all of the weird accoutrements that we saw, like the golden Trump statue, which was made in Mexico?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think the defining image of this CPAC, at least so far, is this image of a giant, kind of like a Bart Simpson-y Trump.
Oh. Yeah.
Being this golden Trump idol being wheeled into CPAC.
Do we think he hugs it like he hugged the flag this time?
Well, you know, it's a pretty, like, if it weren't for kind of like the, you know, it was made with love and stuff. I mean, people were saying, like, any authoritarian leader, like, you'd be executed if you made the leader look like he's wearing, like, board shorts, and he looks very like cowabunga man.
Yeah, I have trouble imagining Donald Trump in flip-flops.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that struck me as a bit odd.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, as you mentioned, it was made by, I think, a Trump enthusiast, so sort of an American expat in Mexico, and then sort of shipped up here. And he claims he's working on a silver version for the Trump library, so this may not be the last we see of cool Trump.
But it is the first time anyone has brought up the Trump library unironically.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, he's working on it for the Trump. Nobody has mentioned this Trump library. Actually, though, Trump did say he was going to raise, like, $2 billion for it.
Well, I think the big thing with the Trump library, actually, is that the only extent I've heard about it is conservatives angry that there will be, you know, it will be open to historians and researchers. And just the sense that, like essentially he needs to destroy all the documents and it should sort of be this just monument to Trump in the way that the Nixon library was for a while.
Let's talk about the 20. I mean, even though this thing was such a joke, there still were 2024 candidates who popped up.
Absolutely. absolutely. Yeah. So we had a, you know, we had a lot of people. We had Ted Cruz, who got up there and did sort of a riff on Cancun. And he said, you know, oh, Florida's nice, but oh, I wish I was in Cancun. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, that struck me. Could you tell what the feeling was there?
It is. I have to say, I mean, the CBAC crowd is smaller this year, but it does sound like just a lot of people are bombing.
Right. That's what it sounded like to me, but I couldn't tell because I'm not there.
Right. So it's hard for us to know just from the live streams. But so Ted Cruz gets up and he does his kind of, you know, Ted Cruz, you know, pop culture hour where he goes, you know, he's like, oh, I'm mixing my Star Trek and Star Wars metaphors and, you know, crickets from the crowd. Yeah. Similarly, yeah, you know,
amazing.
You know, if I should even, you know, I cringe to consider him a 2024 candidate, but Don Jr. gets up there and does his thing and the crowd again. I feel like you need original formula Trump. Even Don Jr. was not really getting a lot of love from the crowd.
It seemed like that speech got cut very short.
Yes, I think that's right. It was very abrupt. It felt like him and Kimberly Guilfoyle, who came out with all these kind of fireworks. It felt very sort of like, you know, we have to let them up.
She ended with that best is yet to come screaming thing, which I guess is now her signature. But at least it felt like she had a speech delivered, whereas when he got up there and he started talking about, he had this line where he was like, speaking of bombing Syria, have you seen Liz Cheney's poll numbers?
Yes. Yeah, he clearly botched the joke, right? He should have said just bombing, not bombing Syria. And then he kind of tried to salvage it. It's like the Cheney family loves to bomb the Middle East. Mm. I don't think he'll be at the Laugh Factory anytime soon.
It's funny, though, because I mean, I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but it is interesting to me. Trump Jr. is very anti-war in this strange way. And it's like completely incongruous with the rest of the party.
To some extent, right? I mean, I think they're very into telling people that they're anti-war and then sort of hyping up any sort of military action taken by Democrats, downplaying anything by Republicans. I think certainly in, you know, there is this weird kind of, this is the way that I think the Trump people break with the history of the Republican Party is by saying, well, those were the war guys that like G.W. Bush, that's not us. And that's how they kind of try to get a clean slate. And then, you know, other 2024 people we saw Kristi Noem, of course, you know, South Dakota. She kind of, you know, did her thing. Mike Pompeo was there. I mean, really, I guess what struck me after 4 years of Trump is how little personality a lot of these people have, and how just kind of just how flat so many of the performances felt.
I was pretty shocked by Pompeo because I always think of him as like just a blowhard. And he really does think he has a real shot at 2024.
Yeah, it's very weird to see these people who will definitely not be president and will, I'd be surprised if they win a state, even if Trump doesn't run. It is strange, it's sort of like, well, I don't know, dude, maybe you could have been president like in the 80s or the 70s. You just have to bring a little more flash.
He almost feels like he's from another time. You do see, like, Kristi Noem, I thought she was sort of sanitized. Like, I mean, I don't know that the Republican Party is there anymore, but you could see how she could run like a Mitt Romney, right? I mean, this is no endorsement of her at all. I think she's just awful, but she does have really good arms. But it feels like Mike Pompeo, who's, like, bombastic and obnoxious, but not charismatic. It just is the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what Kristi Noem brings to it is that, you know, the Trump people love her because she was so irresponsible with the coronavirus.
Right.
But she's not
they love her for
badly
that.
Known yeah. enough. Or she sort of doesn't have this negative reputation, I think, with the rest of the country widely enough that I think she could say, well, you know, I'm a governor and all this stuff. And I think potentially would have, because basically what the Trump people want is they want to know that you're like really willing to risk it all for Trumpism. And I think certainly she has that credibility in a way that someone like Nikki Haley does not.
She's been very kind of like Trumpy in a certain way. But it does feel like, and I'm curious to know if this is just wishful thinking on my part, it does feel like there is no heir apparent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, I think Don Jr. seems a little undisciplined. Although, you know, I don't know that Trump is necessarily a model of discipline himself. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think there's a lot of people who would like to sort of go back to maybe the pre-Trump 2016 race, where, you know, you have Ted Cruz, you know, obviously Ron DeSantis is potentially going to run, in that it's more of a wide open field. But at this point, I think it really is just going to depend on whether Trump gets in or whether he anoints someone.
But can we talk about the Clubhouse talk that was happening?
Sure. So Clubhouse is this weird little app, right? And it's invite only right now. It's only on iPhones. And it's supposed to be like kind of the big Silicon Valley hot app. And it's basically
an audio chat. $10 trillion, right?
Right. And I've always found it very weird and off-putting.
Yeah, me too. You know,
it's sort of like, okay, am I just going to sit around on my phone and like listen to people talk about Bitcoin for a couple hours?
It's a lot of Bitcoin talk on Clubhouse.
Yeah, even the rooms that aren't supposed to be Bitcoin. Then some guy gets in and talks about his Bitcoin.
Exactly. But on this app, we discovered today this strange little room that was CPAC Hot Takes, which was Matt Gaetz being interviewed by Chuck Johnson, the white supremacist.
Yeah, it's a very... Because Clubhouse hasn't, to the best of my knowledge, been banning a lot of these far-right figures who have been banned long ago from Twitter, from Facebook, from Instagram, it's really become a hotspot for people like Jacob Wohl or Ali Alexander, one of the organizers of January 6th, or someone like Chuck Johnson, who has sort of emerged from obscurity to come back, and now he's palling around with someone like Matt Gaetz on Clubhouse. So really, I mean, yeah, it's a very weird scene, you know, the way that these people are able to interact with, you know, elected officials.
Yeah, it's like Matt Gaetz did invite Charles Johnson to the State of the Union once.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, his comments, you know, that appeared to be denying the Holocaust resurfaced. And obviously, Matt Gaetz took a lot of heat for that. So it's a very, Clubhouse is just in this kind of weird situation where they're very kind of like quote unquote free speech, and you know, we're the rationalists, and we kind of like anything goes on Clubhouse. And of course, I think a lot of right wing characters are taking advantage of that.
I was listening to this conversation, and Matt Gaetz is much smoother than Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think he's certainly more disciplined, I think, in terms of his, he definitely gets up there and does the speech. It looks more like obviously a normal politician speech, while also sort of throwing out the bait to the Trumpist people that they know that, you know, Matt Gaetz obviously is on their side. So, you know, I think he's one to watch for sure.
Especially if we watch and see Trump say that he should be the minority leader tomorrow in his speech.
Oh, is he going to say that?
I mean, there's the report that he's going to call for Kevin McCarthy's head if McCarthy doesn't bow down enough. And, you know, Kevin McCarthy is putting betting his house that they're going to win back the house in 2022. So
my favorite conservative meme every time this comes up is that you don't have to be a member of the house to be speaker.
Yes.
And so every time it's all, like before Rush Limbaugh died, it was like Rush Limbaugh should be the speaker of the house, or like Mark Levin, like he'll lawyer them to death, or like Sean Hannity. And it's I have seen some talk, you know, not very credible talk, but of like, we should make Trump the Speaker of the House if we win in 2022, and then he'll impeach Biden.
Oh, God.
No, I don't think they'll ever do it. They're not organized. I mean, the thing that you see again and again, and you see this today, and that there are some very, very scary people in Trump's Republican Party, but there are a lot of very, very disorganized people in Trump's Republican Party.
In the idea that, you know, the reason this never happens is because people in the House want to be Speaker of the House.
Yes.
Or they, you know, they don't want to just be like, oh, I guess we'll outsource it. We'll just make Tucker Carlson the Speaker. Sure.
On that note, we'll wrap this episode of The New Abnormal from The Daily Beast. In future episodes, we'll be talking to smart folks from The Daily Beast and beyond, from media, culture, politics, and science, who will help us understand what's happening to our country and the world. We hope you'll subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and share the show on social media. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again on the next episode.
Hold up. when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.